I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, January 13th, Friday the 13th, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. Have you heard? So, speaking of heard, we had a book drive and congratulations to Gary in California, the final. That's two Garys in California, right? Wait a minute. Is that two Garys? Or is that one Gary? Anyway, so congratulations to Gary and all the other lucky winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid, Gary, Sharon, Renee, KS, and Robert. And thank you to everyone for your generous support of the network. And, who knows, maybe we'll have another book drive come spring or summer. We shall see. So, yesterday was a bit heavy, and I thought today, it's Friday the 13th, so we'll kind of, I'm always leery about these things because, you know, the world is run by satanic minions. And many of them misguided. If you read the work of the hierarchy, which none of us shouldn't waste our time on it. You know what I mean? But there's enough of that numerology and, you know, divining and gematria and that kind of stuff that floats around. We'll leave that to dark forces. And I think today we'll keep it kind of light. So I wanted to mention, though, that I included in yesterday's notes, I suppose I'll say, it's kind of a companion to the conversation that Fred and I were having about the Reagan, specifically, you know, a few stories about, I think three stories, let me see, about Jr., Ron Reagan, and his, you know, he really hasn't wavered over the years, but it's really not surprising. So stories that are one-sided, single-minded, you know, unilateral in his perspective. And as I try to multitask, multitasking is bad for radio. Here we go. So yesterday, I called it the Reagan apple and tree. So the Western esoteric current runs far deeper here in America than most realize. So I'll say a couple of things, and then we'll get to probably happier stuff. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that we could dump in here. Ronald Reagan, you know, in 1964 on the Goldwater campaign trail. Time for choosing. It's time for choosing speech. And this idea that you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. That's what he said. We will preserve this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. He wasn't referring to Manly P. Hall's secret destiny, was he, by any chance? I'm being facetious, but still, there's plenty we could dive down there. But we'll probably save that for later. We'll try to keep it light today. So I will say that, again, the Western esoteric current runs far deeper here in America than most realize. And this is a prime example. There is the LA Times headline, which I mentioned yesterday during the conversation with Fred, to say, you know, this is not a new thing. I mean, Junior has said these things. You can search it. He has said these things many times throughout the years. Here's one post I included in my archive, my notes, from 10 years ago. November 2013, Ronald Reagan's atheist son says he's not afraid of burning in hell in radio ad. And that's unfortunate. You know, there are other stories, there are older stories, but I would say the apple didn't fall far from the tree, sadly. Much closer than most people realize. Again, this is a perfect illustration of the Western esoteric current that has people believing that these two things are somehow similar or even the same in some cases, and they are not. What fellowship hath light with darkness? So this Western esoteric current, and you can jump on Wikipedia, and I would encourage folks actually to jump on Wikipedia. If you haven't, look up Western esotericism on Wikipedia, and that's quite a jumping off point. And from there, you can go in any number of directions and be astonished to discover that pretty much everything that's celebrated in the West and in America in particular as Gnostic, Kabbalistic, Hermetic. What's the other one? Can't think of it. And obviously Masonic. Everything and everyone is trending and tending toward theosophy and, you know, the Church of Thelema, which obviously is included, you know, Crowley, Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn kind of stuff. People don't realize it. I mean, at what point do we acknowledge what's going on and historically what that portends? You know, you go back to the Thule Society kind of stuff and all of this esoteric, you know, staring into the abyss. And bad things happen. And now we're doing this. But you know what? It's different in our case somehow. How long do you pretend and tell yourself those stories? 18th, 19th, and early 20th centuries, the Age of Enlightenment witnessed a process of increasing secularism across secularization of Europe, European governments, and an embrace of modern science and rationality within intellectual circles. In turn, a modernist occult emerged that reflected varied ways esoteric thinkers came to terms with these developments. One of the esotericists of this period was the Swedish naturalist Emanuel Swedenborg, who attempted to reconcile science and religion after experiencing a vision of Jesus Christ. You know, before Joseph Smith, there was Swedenborg. And all of the other folks who have had a Montanist experience. I saw the angel and the angel imparted to me. Sure, you saw the angel and the angel imparted to you, but and it was the secret wisdom. Wow, that sounds like Gnosticism. Sounds a lot like Gnosticism. And you know, I don't understand how those familiar with their Bible don't immediately think 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There are those angelic beings who masquerade as angels. They disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. That's literally what's going on over at the Lucius Trust. You read the work of the hierarchy, that's exactly how it reads. So anyway, just to finish this Wikipedia entry, this mention. So Swedenborg, his writings focused on, and he's one of those, you know, he has to be involved in automatic writing. How else does he write 30,000 pages? His writings, you know, about a 10-year span, his writings focus on his visionary travels to heaven and hell and his communication with angels, claiming that that the visible material world parallels an invisible spiritual world with correspondences between the two that do not reflect causal relations. Following his death, followers founded the Swedenborgian New Church. Though his writings influenced a wider array of esoteric philosophies, and you always have to ask about that, you know, when you find someone that is, you know, you think, oh my goodness, this person had it figured out, and then you go to the bookstore, and all of the woo-woo crowd thinks this person is fantastic, and they study this person's writings, and then you have to maybe pause for a moment. Following his death, followers founded the Swedenborgian New Church. The New Church. Though his writings influenced a wider array of esoteric philosophies, another major figure within the esoteric movement of this period was the German physician Franz Anton Mesmer. We were mesmerized. Who developed the theory of animal magnetism, which later became known more commonly as mesmerism. Mesmer claimed that a universal life force permeated everything. Does that sound familiar? That sounds patently Spinozan. Permeating everything, including the human body, and the illnesses were caused by a disturbance or block in this force's flow. Use the force, Luke. Anyway, I mean, there's more. Spiritism, a lot of names that, you know, should pique our curiosity and get us perking our ears up. Somnambulism also exerted a strong influence on the early disciplines of psychology and psychiatry. Esoteric ideas pervade the work of many early figures in this field, most notably Carl Gustav Jung. Though with the rise of psychoanalysis and behaviorism in the 20th century, these disciplines distanced themselves from esotericism. I wonder why. Because they didn't want the plague to be too obvious. It needed to be legitimized and seem professional. Also influenced by artificial somnambulism was the religion of New Thought founded by the American mesmerist Phineas P. Quimby. It revolved around the concept of mind over matter, believing that illness and other negative conditions could be cured through the power of belief. In Europe, a movement usually termed occultism emerged as various figures attempted to find a third way, quote-unquote, between Christianity and positivist science while building on the ancient medieval and Renaissance traditions of esoteric thought. And on it goes. Eliphaz Levi, he's a curious character. Enlightenment libertines. Elena Blavatsky, Theosophical Society, Annie Besant, Charles Webster Ledbetter, Jiddu Krishnamurti, the Anthroposophical Society, founded by Rudolf Steiner. Paschal Beverly Rudolph, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, the OTO, P.D. Ouspensky, and what's her name? The lady who was in all of those movies, George Gurdjieff, Aleister Crowley, on and on the list goes. These all go together. And then, you know, into Nazi Germany, Thule Society, Rudolf Hess, Goebbels, Himmler, Fraternitas, Saturni, and it's all in this one Wikipedia entry, and that's barely scratching the surface. Renaissance Europe saw increasing interest in many of the older ideas, with various intellectuals combining pagan philosophies with the Kabbalah and Christian philosophy, resulting in the emergence of esoteric movements like Christian Kabbalah. There is no such thing, by the way. That's a contradiction in terms. And Christian Theosophy, again, no such thing. What's going on there? Christian Kabbalah and Christian Theosophy? Well, like I've said, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us, for indeed Jews ask for signs, Kabbalah, and Greeks search for wisdom, theosophy. Stick around. We'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
So what does all of this have to do with Ronald Reagan? Ronnie Reagan. I'm glad you asked. So, you know, again, this history goes much further back. It actually, I mean, you can see this sort of spelled out in even in the Western esotericism Wikipedia entry if you're paying attention. If you don't just take everything at face value, assuming that the oracle of Wikipedia knows all. You know, again, that section, Renaissance period, 18th, 19th, and early 20th centuries, you can, I mean, it's in there. During the Renaissance, a number of European thinkers began to synthesize pagan, that is, not Christian, philosophies, which were then being made available through Arabic translations with Christian thought and the Jewish Kabbalah. The earliest of these individuals was the Byzantine philosopher Pletho, who argued, and that was Wikipedia dates that 1355 or 60 to 1452, who argued that the Chaldean oracles represented an example of a superior religion of ancient humanity that had been passed down by the Platonists. Platon's ideas interested the ruler of Florence, Cosimo de Medici, and we've heard much about those folks in subsequent centuries, who employed Florentine thinker Marsilio Ficino to translate Plato's works into Latin. Ficino went on to translate and publish the works of various Platonic figures, arguing that their philosophies were compatible with Christianity. And we hear that all the time. Why do you suppose there is an effort to do that? Fabian socialists do it. The theosophists do it. Everybody always wants to say, you know, you can be a Christian socialist. You can be a... No, you can't. No. I mean, you can pretend. You can say that you are, but it doesn't make it true. Because the God of socialism is not the God of the Bible. And I've mentioned specifically what I mean by that. And I'll probably mention that again. There's always an effort to attach these things. And what is happening now is there has been a commingling down through the centuries that the Western esotericism Wikipedia entry even talks about. There's been a polluting, basically. Which reminds me of the letter to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. So now the devil is really good at leavening things or polluting things. And then, you know, in dialectical fashion, what you do is you commingle these things. Then eventually when the truth and the lie become indistinguishable to people, then you eventually separate out the lie. Once they have become so unfamiliar with the authentic, they can't distinguish which parts are counterfeit, which parts are authentic, then you start to separate them out, and you separate out the truth, and you get rid of that, and you leave the lie. And that's where we're at in American society today. It's at this point we're about to feel the impulse of the, you know, the heavy hand, basically, of the Nietzschean will to power, which will have people, you know, and that's part of this whole cultural nonsense. It will not be passive for long. It'll get aggressive. It'll get hostile soon. And it will say, what will happen is this impulse will say, hey, you know what? I think the same thing you think. And, I mean, we're all kind of Christian theosophists, right? Why don't you just get rid of this thing? Just get rid of this part. Like, why don't you just get rid of the Bible? We all think kind of the same, and we can be friends. And then that'll transition to, no, I wasn't asking. It's coming. Anyway, we are about to head into a break, and I need to just get on with it and wrap up exactly what Ronald Reagan has to do with all of this, and this has to do with him, and I will do that. Do you remember? I mean, there was a time that folks remembered who Joan Quigley was, for example, and, you know, major mainstream headlines talking about the astrologist who runs the White House, essentially. So maybe we've forgotten. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. All right, so what is all this Western esoteric stuff? You know, and really, it boils down, again, I mean, if this sounds crazy or, you know, doesn't make sense, all this stuff funnels down into, you know, kind of a very narrow view. And this thread of history, again, I mean, you can read on the Wikipedia entry, this pursuit of Platonism, the Platonic influence, the Neoplatonist influence goes back centuries, and it goes back even further than, you know, the Renaissance and so forth. You know, this, you know, alchemical attempt to do funny things to man and so on. You keep digging, you know, keep scratching, keep digging, and you find that basically you have an unbroken thread back to Plato and even beyond. And where beyond? And, you know, that's kind of a question for everyone to explore themselves. But, you know, it's amazing to me how much of this history is right here on this one page. All of these names, you know, one of those. So, speaking of ancient coming forward, a distinct strain of esoteric thought developed in Germany, where it became known as Naturphilosophie, though influenced by traditions from late antiquity and medieval Kabbalah, it only acknowledged two main sources of authority, biblical scripture and the natural world. Well, then what about the Bible? Well, I've mentioned that, you know, there are several passages in the epistles of John, for example, you know, Colossians and other places that speak out specifically against this kind of thing. So, just because you're someone like G. Stanley Hall or William James trying to read into things, or, you know, Helena Blavatsky, things that are not there, or Westcott and Hort, dare we say, doesn't mean these things go together. Just because somebody is saying Christian theosophy doesn't mean it's a thing. There's an effort to try to commingle things that don't belong together. So the primary exponent of this approach was Paracelsus, and who took inspiration from alchemy and folk magic to argue against the mainstream medical establishment of his time, etc., etc. One of those influenced by Paracelsus was the German cobbler Jacob Bemmy, who sparked the Christian theosophy movement. Wait a minute. Theosophy? This says Jacob Bemmy, 1575 to 1624. Yeah, again, this goes back much further. Who sparked the Christian theosophy movement through his attempts to solve the problem of evil. And, you know, we skip forward quickly here to, you know, the whole just all kinds of tangents, like the Promethean stuff. And again, you know, 1818 and Mary Shelley and Frankenstein, or the, you know, the new Prometheus. That's a theme that we see, which, you know, goes along with Nietzsche's Übermensch. So it's the same kind of thing. Man will raise himself up out of the swamp and finally become as gods, which is the same old lie that you see in Genesis 3. And it just seems to follow us and plague us throughout history. Anyway, Jacob Bemmy, who sparked the Christian theosophy movement through his attempts to solve the problem of evil. Solve the problem of evil. See that? And we think that we've, you know, that's what we're hearing today. That's one of the things, again, Alyssa Childers' interview on the Babylon Bee, talking about how that's one of the hardest things to convince people these days is of sin. Nope, we're still sinful. Just because the Gnostic contingent has lowered our moral standards doesn't change anything. Bemi argued that God had been created out of an unfathomable mystery, the Ungrund, and that God himself was composed of a wrathful core. This is that whole mesotheistic and distheistic bent, surrounded by the forces of light and love. And so there you go. The esotericists and occultists like to use those terms, surrounding you with light and love. Though condemned by Germany's Lutheran authorities, Bemi's ideas spread and formed a basis for a number of small religious communities such as Johann Georg Gitchell's Angelic Brethren in Amsterdam and John Portage and Jane Leeds Philadelphian Society in England. From 1614 to 1616, and of course, all of this predates the history of what we hear about the, the Masonic lodges, which began in 1717, most notably. So, I mean, there is a rising current, but this predates a lot of the things that we've heard, and it's right here on Wikipedia, for Pete's sake. From 1614 to 1616, the three Rosicrucian manifestos were published in Germany. These texts purported, these texts purported to represent a secret initiatory brotherhood founded centuries before. Oh, that sounds like that Bavarian thing, doesn't it? Yeah. By a German adept named Christian Rosenkreutz. There is no evidence that Rosenkreutz was a genuine historical figure. Was it maybe Saint Germain? Nor that a Rosicrucian order had ever existed before then. Instead, but there is, actually. This is Wikipedia, though. The manifestos are likely literary creations of Lutheran theologian Johann Valentin André. That's clever. Just out of nowhere, they appeared. There's no evidence. Why do you suppose the Wikipedia entry has to say that? However, they inspired much public interest with various individuals coming to describe themselves as Rosicrucian, quote-unquote, and claiming that they had access to secret esoteric knowledge as a result. What is the Rosicrucian stuff? It's basically the, getting to the marriage of these concepts, this Gnostic and Kabbalistic stuff marries up in the Rosicrucian and the Hermetic stuff. A real initiatory brotherhood was established in the late 16th century Scotland through the transformation of medieval stonemason guilds to include non-craftsmen, Freemasonry, soon spreading into other parts of Europe. In England, it largely rejected its esoteric character and embraced humanism and rationalism, while in France it embraced new esoteric concepts, particularly those from Christian theosophy. And again, two things. That's a contradiction of terms, but this also predates most of the things that you'll read. And this is right on Wikipedia. So anyway, that's probably enough. There are curious omissions, though. Bacon and Dee, for example, are two curious omissions. And if you're interested in this kind of thing, the one thing that I would say is what piques my curiosity mostly lately on these things, like the short, kind of like the meta, maybe what Bill Binney would say is, the thin thread of Wikipedia is a very loose way to put it. But, if you click on the link on these Wikipedia entries that say what links here, oftentimes that seems to tell you more, because there's stuff, for example, that's hidden kind of, from view anyway on the page. Like when you scroll down to the bottom on a desktop Wikipedia page, you see all of those, and there's stuff in the, in the right-hand side where they have, people influenced by and all that. A lot of that stuff is collapsed, and so you don't see it on the page, or if you search, you don't find it readily. So you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can click on the thing that says show, like for philosophy or philosophy of religion. And there's a ton of additional stuff. But, you know, so for this, in this case, for example, if I click on philosophy of religion, quickly, there's kind of a timeline. Philosophers of religion, ancient and medieval, early modern, 1800, 1850, 1880, 19. Anyway, so, you know, names that Maimonides, Descartes, Pascal, Spinoza, Leibniz, David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Hegel, Thomas Carlyle, Soren Kierkegaard, Karl Marx, Nietzsche, William James, Bertrand Russell, René Guénon, on and on the list goes. So, you know, that's a short kind of, and, you know, for that matter, the theology that's mentioned there too. And you have interesting terms, Dharmism. You know, the wheel of Dharma is something that you see very popular in technology, for example. Dualism, esotericism, in this thread of things that go together, apparently. Gnosticism, obviously. Monism, mysticism, New Age, pandeism, panentheism, pantheism, polytheism, and more. But, you know, like I said, for anyone who's interested in these kinds of things, if you click on the link under the tools section in the sidebar on a desktop version of these pages, there's the what links here link. And I usually like to, when you click on it, on that, and it gives you the options, you know, view previous 50, next 50, 20, 50, 100, 500. I usually click on the 500 limit. And you can see if you do that with the Western Esotericism Wikipedia entry, it shows you 500 and there are more. Displaying 500, there are more. So I usually type in the address bar 1500 because I think that's the limit. Wikipedia won't let you see more than that. What links to Western esotericism? 1,500 items. And so right out of the gates, you know, alchemy, Aldous Huxley, Schopenhauer, the Abraxas, obviously, Atlantis, Anthroposophy, Blaise Pascal, Bertrand Russell, Cerberus, David Hume, deism. The founders were deists, right? Largely. Deists and Masons. But we don't have a duality in our American history. Esotericism, which has other sublinks, mathematics, New Age, chakras, reincarnation, Steiner, Sufism, Scottish Rite, Blavatsky. You know, the subject of hermeneutics is linked, A.E. Weight, because we got to suck out the useful bits, as the English might say, that, you know, we can extract without God's help, basically. That's what they're trying to do. Ubermensch, Theosophical Society, William Quan Judge, Henry Steele Olcott, B. Sant, you know. And this has been going on for, I mean, this stuff has been in high gear, in overdrive for over 100 years. So, anyway, enough about that. I said I would move on. I have not moved on yet. Why don't we move on from that? What does all of this have to do with Ronald Reagan? He was into the esoteric and even the occult and didn't seem to have a problem hanging out at, you know, in the woods as Bill Clinton put it when confronted with a bunch of naked Republicans. So, at the Bohemian Grove. Why would you do that? Well, you know, and again, this all gets back to the belief that most Americans hold that is represented in George Skelton's April 13, 2020 LA Times article in the headline, How Ron Reagan, Son of a True Believer, Became an Atheist, Unafraid of Burning in Hell. Not the son of a, you know, son of a true esoteric, Gnostic believer, but not a true Christian believer. That's a disingenuous headline. True believer of what? In what? Not sola Christos, not sola scriptura, that's for sure. Stick around, we'll be right back.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Spider.
the suns that guard this roost, beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns. An old man sits collecting stamps in a room all filled with Chinese lamps. He saves what others throw away. He says that he'll be rich someday. We know of an ancient radiation.
Welcome back.
That haunts dismembered constellations.
Final segment of the first hour already. All right, what does this have to do with Ronald Reagan? Well, Ronald Reagan was not a true believer, i.e. Christian, in the sense that, you know, George Skelton's April 13, 2020 LA Times article would have us believe. Rather, Red Ronnie, as some derisively refer to him, was steeped in Gnostic occult beliefs. This is not to cast aspersions, by the way, and this is not a Sunday thing. This is a history thing. This is, let's just put the truth out in plain sight for all to see and operate on that basis instead of telling funny stories and pretending that the funny stories are true when they're not. By Reagan's own admission, during his presidency, both he and Nancy followed the advice of, again, San Francisco astrologist Joan Quigley. That was in all kinds of newspapers and all kinds of headlines throughout the Reagan presidency. And that was including on matters of state and national security, allegedly to the consternation of the CIA even. Maybe we should play that clip. Maybe we will at the top of the second hour here in a minute. Reagan's affection for Manly P. Hall is also well known and has also been widely publicized over the years. Therefore, it is no surprise to read throughout the years that their son, Ron, is an unrepentant atheist. And, you know, I say that unrepentant atheist in the context of this notion that Ronald and Nancy Reagan were somehow Christians. No. And sadly, it's also not surprising the American public is largely duped into believing that Red Ronnie was a true believer in anything other than Gnosticism. And for the record, again, communism is nothing more than or less than the devil's counterfeit of Acts 2, the Acts 2 Pentecostal moment. After all, doesn't Acts 2, 44 to 47 sound strikingly similar to the Marxist mantra, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs? There's a reason for that. The two-part question is, as it always has remained, from Genesis 3, 1, 5 through 7, and 5 through 7, who is in charge? Who decides? Is it man, i.e. the devil, or is it God and the Holy Spirit, as it was in Acts 2? That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.